Hello, you are listening to Prof Talk on UBC CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. Welcome to Prof Talk. I am your host, Farha Khan. My guest today is Mark Vesey. He's a professor of English whose research and teaching address issues in the history of literature and the disciplines of knowledge between the classical worlds of ancient Greece and Rome and the late modern worlds of our global present. He began his career at UBC 23 years ago as an I.W. Killam postdoctoral scholar. He grew up in England and has degrees in English literature from Cambridge and ancient history from Oxford. In 2001, he was the first faculty member in the humanities at UBC to be appointed to a Canada Research Chair. He is currently also principal of Green College at UBC, a position that he suspects may be the most enjoyable job in the whole university. His latest book, due out in April, is a 500-page edited companion to Augustine, the late 4th century Roman bishop, theologian, and writer who famously asked God to make him chaste, but not yet. Mark joins me now live in studio here in CITR. Thank you, Mark, for coming in today.
Thank you for having me on.
Now, since 2008, you have been the principal of Green College here at UBC. Tell us about Green College. Why is it called Green College?
Yeah, it's a good question. And there are things at UBC that can only really be explained historically and geographically. I think this is one of them. I wonder if all your listeners even know where Green College is. Most people at the university don't, and most of them, I'm afraid, never find out. It's not that we mean to keep it a secret. It's just, you know, it's a big campus, and this is actually a small place, the college. So from here, you just go north on East Mall, past the new Faculty of Law, Allard Hall, and then you strike a little northwest, and there's a street that runs down to the cliff top, Cecil Green Park Road, and on the right-hand side of that street is Green College. So it's about 5 minutes from the sub if you know which way you're going. Why is it called Green College? Even though we'd like to be a sustainable college, we are not that college for sustainability that the university is hoping to create in the next few years. It all has to do with a man called Cecil Green. I call him Cecil because I'm from England, so was he. I think in Manchester, where he was born, they meant to call him Cecil, though people out here seem to call him Cecil. Anyway, this Cecil Green was a student at UBC before the university was even out here, when it was in the Fairview Shacks across in town before the Great Trek. He was here just after the First World War, did a couple of years of engineering, and then went to MIT. Got his degree at MIT, traveled all around the world, met Ida, whom he married and who was the love and great support of his life, founded, you know, over the decades, several companies, one of which became Texas Instruments. He made a fortune. He and Ida didn't have any children. In the course of their lives, they gave all their money away. Cecil lived to be 103, so that was quite a long philanthropic career. He was born in 1900, and at some point in the 1950s, a very resourceful UBC faculty member, a man called William Gibson, reinterested Cecil in his Vancouver and UBC past. He was by then based in Texas. And over the years, in the 60s and 70s, Cecil Green gave a lot of money to UBC. The first thing he paid for was the house that's now called Cecil Green Park House, which is a little further down Cecil Green Park Road, past the college, best known probably for the wedding parties that go there in the summer. He bought that from the university from its previous owners in the early 1960s, or rather he and Ida did. And Ida was particularly interested in the University Women's Club, which still has premises there. Now, that house previously hadn't been part of the university, nor was the house next door, which was in due course, but not for a while after that, going to form the core of what became Green College. So that's the early 60s. In the very early 70s, Cecil and Ida make another gift to endow the Cecil and Ida Green Visiting Professorships Program, which was designed to bring visiting professors from other universities, other countries, to UBC, usually just for a short stretch, a week or so, to give lectures and talks and liven the place up, because Cecil, being a great cosmopolitan, was a little worried that Vancouver, being stuck out at the edge here, you know, wouldn't get all the traffic that it should. So we wanted to ensure that we wouldn't be too provincial. So that's the longest running and I would like to think still the most prestigious of UBC's visiting professorship programs, 1970-71. There have been about 300 of them through the university since then. 20 years later, UBC launches a big fundraising campaign. The last one before the one we're doing now. That one was called The World of Opportunity. And Cecil and Ida Green was the honorary chair of the campaign, which must mean that he was expected to make a gift. He'd agreed to do that in due course. And when the university asked him what it was to be, I suspect to everyone's surprise, he said he wanted a graduate college like the one that William Gibson, who also had Oxford connections, had recently persuaded him to pay for in Oxford. There's also a Green College, Oxford, since about 1979. UBC didn't have colleges. There were the theological colleges outside the main university. But Cecil had been introduced to this Oxford-Cambridge college model and thought that UBC should have a bit of that. He knew where he wanted to put it because he'd had his eye on the other heritage home next to what had become Cecil Green Park House. And, you know, this was the moment at which he struck. So a slightly dumbfounded President Strangway, I like to think, said, "I don't know, Cecil, I mean, couldn't we have that laboratory I was planning for some other part of the campus?" And Cecil said, "You know, that's $7 million US. You can take it or leave it. I want a college, a bit like the ones they have in Oxford and Cambridge, but adapted for the West Coast. And I want the students, the graduate students who live there, whatever field they're in, and they should come from all fields if possible, I want them to talk to each other." Evidently, he worked out over many years in business, very successful entrepreneurial career. The universities were good for lots of things, but there was a problem with over-specialization. So he wanted UBC to have a place, you know, where some of the best graduate minds would mix and mingle. So that's what the committee that was struck, the task force that was struck to come up with a plan for Green College in the early 90s was commissioned to do. And in 1993, after quite a lot of building work and architectural redesign, the college opened, based around the heritage house that had been there since 1915, but with a new range of residential buildings for students, postdocs, visiting scholars to live in. So there's 100 people living there, every discipline in theory, from astronomy to zoology, everything in between. And in addition to that, and this was the really innovative thing that the planners of Green College decided, was that apart from being a place where a small number of people lived, lived but didn't work, they'd spend most of their working day across campus in their departments, programs, labs, libraries, but they'd go back there every evening for dinner to talk to each other about whatever was on their minds. They'd sleep and eat there. That would be their home, while all their curricular activity would be, you know, in other places. Besides those people living there, anybody else in the university who wanted to drop in for a conversation would be welcome to do so. And to encourage those people to drop by, the college started to program non-curricular, interdisciplinary academic events, talk series, lectures, workshops, conferences. And for nearly 20 years now, that's what the college has been doing. So once people figure out where the place is mm-hmm. and what's going on there and realize that it's open to them too, in keeping with that ancient UBC motto of to a mast, even if you don't live there, it's your green college. So that's the relatively short version of the founding myth, mostly true, mm-hmm. Of Green College UBC.
Why is being the principal of Green College what you consider to be the best job on campus?
Well, it's a special version of that thing that everybody likes to say. You know, it's great, I've got the kind of job they pay me for doing what I want to do anyway. Why do people want to be professors? I mean, one of the reasons, surely, is they like to hang out with students. This is a place where I get to hang out with students, and I don't even have to grade their papers. It's all about conversation. None of this is for credit. It's not going on their transcript. It's not really going on mine. And I don't have to stay cooped up in the discipline that or the disciplines that I trained in, the ones I'm supposed to profess and do profess. You know, I still have a day job, and my colleagues in the English department expect to see me from time to time, and I have students there who are on the curriculum, as far as I'm concerned. But this is that other kind of conversation that everybody enjoys at the university while you're not on the program. It's, you know, it's that high-class intellectual BSing that everybody wants to have time to do, but that you have to make time for because we're all really busy with the program. So that on the one hand, and then there's the other people who show up, mm-hmm. colleagues that I might not see otherwise, students from departments and programs that I couldn't even find on the campus map, and members of the public. That's something probably to make clear as well. Mm-hmm. Everything we advertise is open to anyone who likes to drop by. Mm-hmm. So we're on the edge of the campus. It's quite easy for people to get to. They can park in the parkade or walk down from the bus loop. So it's the university as a place where curious minds mix and mingle, talk, have dinner together, occasionally have a drink together, and it's all, if you like, off the record, off-piste, yes. But safe.
Yes.
We're at the very edge, we like to say. You know, the next thing is the cliff edge, and if you go any further, you fall into the ravine. But we're in a safe space that's off-limits.
So tell us about some of the programs, the ongoing ones. You've got interdisciplinary lecture series that are out throughout the year. And as you mentioned, for the general public to come to as well, I think in a year you can have about 150 lectures or so that
something
can go through
like
the
that.
College. And also the Writer-in-Residence program, and you mentioned the visiting professorship scholarship. So tell us about...
Yes, we've got a number of different programs. And since you mentioned the Writer-in-Residence program, I'll put in a quick plug for that. I think we've had 11 or 12 writers now since 1999. Lynn Cody was the first. At that time, she was a recent graduate of the creative writing program at UBC. She's gone on to write prize-winning novels and collections of short stories since then. Last year, Don Hanna was here as our writer in residence, and we've just appointed the next one. I think I can let this cat out of the bag now. His name is Shyam Salvadorai. He's a Sri Lankan Canadian. He's based in Toronto when he's not back in Sri Lanka running literary festivals over there. He's got a new novel out later this year, around the time he'll be coming to live at the college, we hope, in September. So he'll be with us for a term, first term of the next academic year, to do some readings from his own work, to organize events with other writers, academics, intellectuals and artists from around the community, and to work with students at UBC, not just members of the college, on their writing projects. So there's that. We have the visiting professorships program, especially the Cecil H. and Ida Green visiting professorships program. The next visitor, next month, I think the week beginning the 20-something of March, is an ancient historian, an archaeologist who's now based in Cambridge, a man called Andrew Wallace Handrell, who was previously director of the British School in Rome, and one of the archaeologists working at the moment on the preservation of Herculaneum, the site close to Pompeii that was also covered in volcanic ash in the first century CE. So he's going to be giving lectures, one lecture actually at the Vancouver Institute on a Saturday night on Herculaneum and the political and other issues around conservation on a site of that kind of importance. Apart from the visiting professors and writers in residence, we have professors and other people visiting all the time. We've got about a dozen interdisciplinary series running at the college at any one time, and each week two or three or four of those series will be bringing in visitors, whether they're from the US, Europe, Asia, anywhere in the world. People who will perhaps give a talk in a department as well, or at the Peter Wall Institute, or at the Liu Institute, one of the other interdisciplinary centers or institutes on the campus, and then come to the college, give a talk there, stay for dinner, stay in the guest house at the college, have breakfast with the residents who get up in time for breakfast. So what have we got this week? Well, actually, one thing I should mention, Monday night after dinner is routinely the liveliest hour in the coach house. I don't know if it was ever a coach house, but it's the room that we use for almost all our academic events. And Monday night at 8 o'clock after dinner is when the resident members tell each other what they do all day. Mm-hmm. Last night we had a master's student in planning talking about what planners do, and the room was packed with people who think they know what planners do and maybe partly do. And something like that happens every Monday night after dinner. This afternoon at 5 o'clock, we've got the latest in a series that's being organized and presented by UBC emeritus faculty, right. Retired professors, who apparently haven't stopped doing what they're doing, or, you know, have been doing for 50 years and love. Bill Bruneau, member of the Faculty of Education at UBC, very seasoned university politician as well as historian of education, is coming to talk about specialists and dilettantes at the university. That I expect will be quite controversial. We've got the latest in a series on the environmental history of Canada later this week, hosted by one of our colleagues in the geography department. In a week or two, we've got the latest in a series on the treatment protocols for the treatment of what the conveners are calling non-human animals at the university. The ethics of experiments with the other kinds of animals apart from ourselves in university settings. A very sensitive topic. They've got research scientists, activists, specialists with different takes on that problem to address the issue. So those are a few examples of, you know, what's going on at the moment.
Now, you live very close to Green College with your family. How do you feel? What is it like to live so close to where you work and to be part of this Green College community?
I get a really honest answer. You would have to ask my wife, I think. But I think, like everybody else who lives on campus, you know, we feel we have to get out occasionally. You know, if we've gone 10 days without getting the other side of Alma, it gets a little crazy. But that's the same for everyone. And I think however, you know, big and diverse and interesting and exciting we make this university town of ours, we'll still need to keep getting out. That said, you know, it's great for all the reasons that being on campus at UBC is good. The intensity, the excitement, the uncertainty of just who you run into and what kind of conversation you'll get into next. So yes, it can be a little claustrophobic because, you know, this is a resident community full of largely self-selecting overachievers, people who are much of the time quite interested in impressing each other, even while, of course, caring for each other, supporting each other, encouraging everybody else's ambitions and interests, and watching out for each other at difficult times. But they are high performers, like, you know, UBC students in general. So they have to go off to Whistler. I think a bunch of them are actually going to break out next weekend to do that, and it's a good thing. We don't require people to stay there 24/7, but we do require them to have dinner together 5 nights a week. That's the bottom line. After that, they can take off.
Does it remind you, just living near Green College and working for Green College, remind you of your past, your time in England? If in some ways you said, you know, historically that was kind of the model, the Cambridge-Oxford model, and you studied at both of those universities.
I don't know how many listeners you have in the UK. I'm going to hope that this doesn't get sent around the world by satellite, but it reminds me of the stuff that was best about being in a college in an Oxbridge setting. But we've got rid of quite a few of the things that were annoying and irritating. We also have the great luxury of being strictly extracurricular. Oxbridge colleges, like most other colleges in collegiate universities, have curricular functions. And it's part of the process whereby people get credit. We're not part of that process here. This is value added. It's stuff that people do because they want to, because they've got extra energy. So I love the fact that this is all of that free associating, actually rather unprogrammed academic life, which was the way college life, certainly in the humanities, was for students like me in England back in the 1970s. Things have got a little tighter there, I think, too. A lot has happened, even at Oxbridge. That culture has evolved fast too. But some of the things that were best about college culture then, and are still the best about it wherever it occurs now, the edge of amateurishness about it, that people are willing to take chances outside their disciplines, mm-hmm. To talk convivially and not professionally, and the way in which strictly academic activities can mix with social, recreational activities as well. All of that kind of crossover, so you're not quite sure whether you're being an academic, a student, a professor, or just, you know, being a human animal at that moment, where you lose track of that. That, I think, is what one of the things college is really good at, and something that Cecil Green was right to think could be added to UBC amidst the riches of everything you already had.
Now, through all of the things that you do with Green College and the university, you have also written a book that's going to be coming out soon. Can you tell us about it, even a little sneak preview of this very large book on August 10th?
Well, that book was cheating, really, because I didn't write all of it. I edited it, which meant what I was doing was rounding people up to have a conversation about this historically very influential figure, Christian bishop in the period when the Roman Empire was becoming more or less officially Christian. Well, it was by his time officially Christian, and laying down the law, in effect, for medieval Christendom, as it turned out. I don't think he knew he was doing that in so many words at the time. And the idea of this volume was to find ways of unsettling that monumental, and I think to some people still rather oppressive, figure, in the Western canon, Christian, Western, European civilization, European though coming from North Africa in his case, so it's already quite complicated. So 30 or 40 people taking different angles on that issue to produce the kind of compendium, handbook, encyclopedia that publishers think libraries still want to buy, and that, you know, maybe scholars and students will buy too, but really with a view to stirring things up, not, you know, just another version of the canonical Augustine. So in a curious way, it was another alibi for the serious writing that probably I should also be doing, and in fairness to myself, I'm also doing, but that's the next book. But I don't think we've got time for the next book now, do we?
I will have to have you on the show again and talk about the next book.
Thank you.
But it's been wonderful to chat with you. I have to say, I've had the pleasure of listening to you speak in public several times, and I'm just always impressed with how you can summarize, for example, after a week-long conference, and bring together, you could be the facilitator or the moderator at the conference, and you can just sort of, you know, bring all of the themes together in such a beautiful way, and I really appreciate that. And
what I really wanted to do, of course, when I was an undergraduate, was be a broadcaster, but I never had the discipline for it, because the kinds of things that you're doing are the kinds of things that I'm also doing all the time, only you do it on air. Thank you very much for having me on air.
Well, thank you. It's been wonderful. I have just been speaking with Dr. Mark Vesey, who is a professor of English and currently the principal of Green College. For more information about Green College, as well as to learn about its upcoming events or to be added to its mailing list, please visit www.greencollege.ubc.ca. You are listening to Prof Talk on UBC CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver and via live web streaming on CITR.ca. Prof Talk airs every Tuesday at 3 p.m. and features interviews with professors from a variety of disciplines. Next week, I will speak with Dr. Kim Skornert-Reichel, who is an associate professor in the Faculty of Education. If you would like to hear a podcast of this show or any previous episode of Prof Talk, please visit proftalk.ubc.ca or email us at prof.talk@ubc.ca. I am your host, Farha Khan. Thank you for listening today. Now, here is Queen with the song, We Are the Champions. And bad mistakes I've made a few.